that when Jesus went to the cross, he went with a purpose. He went with a purpose. And so this morning, I want to take these next few moments and in some way encourage each one of you with the reality that you have a purpose in Christ. I'll wait. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. A purpose and a plan for your life. And this morning, unless you want to be held accountable, it's going to be revealed to you what I just said, that there's a purpose and a plan for your life. And so from this morning on, you're not going to be able to say, "I didn't know." Amen? One thing that each one of us has to remember is that Jesus did not just call the disciples to follow him. He, in fact, sent them out. Boy, this is a tough crowd this morning. You're listening? Is that what it is? All right. I'll give you that. It's oftentimes it's kind of quiet in an operating room too, I would imagine. I've always been asleep when I was in there. They won't let me go in there. Turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. When you find it, stand to your feet and we'll read God's word together. Matthew chapter 10. Starting in verse 5. Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 5. These 12, what 12? The 12 disciples. These 12 Jesus sent out and suggested to them, saying, it's even more pointed than instructed. He commanded them. And this is what he said. He said, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food." Father, I thank you for this word. I pray that it impacts your people the way it's impacted me. And I pray, God, that you would anoint me this morning one more time, God, to share and to declare, to speak the truth of what your word is saying to us today. God, that your people would be challenged with a challenge that they can't get away from, that, Lord, your church is never going to be effective until we embrace the reality that you are sending us out with a purpose. And so, Lord, I pray this morning, God, for your anointing on me, your anointing on your people to receive, Lord, this word, not from a preacher, but, God, from the throne room of heaven. I pray, God, that I would decrease, that you'd increase in me, Lord. And I pray again this morning, Lord, for every preacher in our city, God, that as they declare your word today, Lord, that lives will be changed and transformed, that the light of the gospel will shine forth and shine brightly in a place and in a world that is dark and undone. So, Lord, I thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Message title, Sent with a Purpose. sent with a purpose. You've been sent. This passage that we just read marks a turning point in the lives of the disciples. It marks a turning point in their lives. It marks a turning point in your life. From being a learner to a laborer. If you've just been sitting on the back of your lap and just soaking it all in, at some point, and I believe it starts in some of your lives today, you have to transition from learner to laborer. You need to begin to put feet to what you've learned. You need to begin to release. Listen, you read the reason why the Dead Sea is the Dead Sea is because it always just takes in, it never puts out. And so God is calling us this morning as a church, as a fellowship, as a body of believers, as the children of God. He's calling us to take the next step, to transition from learner to laborer, to take His word out into the streets. And amazing as it seems, Jesus was sending out ordinary men on an extraordinary mission. And you've got to understand this morning that in your ordinariness is, I don't even know if that's a word, but that's Myrtle Creekian, okay? In your ordinariness, say that three times fast. He wants to send you on an extraordinary adventure, an extraordinary mission with an extraordinary purpose, and that is to reach the lost sheep and to declare that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's the call that is being echoed in the scripture today to each and every one of you. Every one of you. Every one of you. Every one of you. I'll say it until I get the response I'm looking for. Every one of you. All y'all. Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, I'm rubbing off on some of you. Listen, church. The church is not called to stay. The church has not been called to come together and reside in as lovely as we've made this building. The church has been called to go. To go. The Bible says that the fields are wide unto harvest, but the laborers are few. What are you going to tell Jesus when you stand before Him and He says, "Well, what did you do to enhance my kingdom?" "Well, I went to church every Sunday." "Well, go you." "What did you do with what the preacher said? What did you do with what's written in the pages and the canon of Scripture? Did you apply what you learned and what you read? Did you disciple anybody? Did you make disciples of every nation like it's calling us to do?" See, Jesus gives specific instructions regarding the focus of the ministry. And to these guys, He said, "Don't go to the Gentiles or to the Samaritans." Now, a Gentile is anyone that is not a Jew. It's mostly us. These words restricted the disciples' short-term mission. Jesus came not to the Jews only, but to the Jews first. Don't miss that. Well, what about the Gentiles? He died for you and for me, but the Jews are going to reach the Jews. I mean, that's what He said. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also the Greek." There was an order. God is a God of order, whether you and I like it or not. He's a God of order. He does things in order. He chose them to tell the rest of the world about Him. How many of you realize this morning that when you begin to tell the Jews one specific group of people, it's not going to be long until it begins to leak out to the rest of the world? That's why the last Sunday we spoke about cracked pots and broken vessels and all those kinds of things, because what's in you and in those will in fact begin to leak out. So God chose them to tell the rest of the world about Him. We all need to remember that when Jesus sends us, He equips us. When He sends us out, He equips us. Our mission, message, and means all come from Him. We read about it in Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 10. We read about all of that. The mission is there, the message is there, and the means are there. And all of it comes from Him. The direction of the mission is found in 5 and 6. And it says this, go to the lost. Go to the lost. So the question then automatically becomes, who are you going to? What light are you letting shine of Jesus in your life? What is it like in your home? Are you argumentative? Are you confrontive? Are you this, that, and the other thing? Or does the light of Jesus shine even in your home or in the workplace? He gave the disciples, listen to what He said in verses 5 and 6. These 12 He sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go in the way of the Gentiles, and don't even enter a city of Samaritans, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So this is very specific. How many of you know that Jesus wants us to be specific? He's being specific. He gave specific direction. Don't go everywhere at once, but start where the need is the greatest, the lost sheep of Israel. God's mission always starts with the lost around us. It always starts with the lost around us. It starts with our families. What if God sent you to be the missionary to your family? Would they know that you are a child of God if you never opened your mouth? How much more could they if you did open your mouth and what you said and the way you responded and the way you reacted to different ones would impacted there and was a portrayal of what Jesus has done for us? We come to church and we act all nice, and I'm glad about that. But how are we acting with our family at home?
I got a bumper sticker that said, Lord, save me from your followers.
Funny you would say that, because there was a missionary to India, and he was asked this question, what is your biggest hindrance for the mission of Christ in India? You know what he said? Christians. Whew. That's what he said. That's an indictment against the church. We got to transition from all being lovey and all that in church, and we got to transition that outside in the family, around the dinner table, at the workplace, everywhere we go. Our families, the workplace, our neighborhoods.
I'll just go ahead. I'm going to get in trouble. I don't even care.
If we're putting witches and warlocks and all that kind of stuff in our front yard because it's Halloween, not that we're collecting points, but I don't think we're being a very good witness, because really what Halloween is all about is All Hallows Eve. And it's as demonic as the devil himself. And as children of God, Say I'm old-fashioned, say I'm legalistic, I don't give a care. I'm telling you, it's our witness before our community and our neighborhood that, listen, I'm a child of God. That stuff's behind me. I'm not participating. I'm not dabbling in the dark things of this world. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to support it. I'm not going to celebrate it. It's an amazing statistic in the United States of America today that Halloween is a more decorated and celebrated holiday, if you want to call it that, than Christmas. It's amazing. I'm done. It's not in my notes. I just felt inspired. I don't mean to make anybody mad or upset. I'm just telling you that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we got to quit seeing how much hell we can have in our life and still make heaven. We often think that being sent means to a faraway place, but I think what's being said here in this passage is saying, at least to us, start where the people are spiritually wandering and hurting. You don't need a pulpit to reach the lost. You don't need a pulpit to reach the lost. You need a willing heart. You need to be obedient to the Spirit of God. And when a search team is sent out, they don't just go wander around out in the woods. There's a grid pattern that's been established by somebody, and they follow that same pattern so that every inch of ground gets covered, and that's how they run a search party. They follow a specific grid. God's call to you and I is focused. Find the lost sheep around you. Take the gospel into the streets. Verse 7 says, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The message is clear and the message is simple. The kingdom of heaven is near. Amen. It's near. It's here. It's right where we are. Church, we aren't told to argue. We're not told to argue. We're not told to debate. We're not called to impress. We're just simply called to announce what God's doing. What God is doing. Let me tell you what He's doing in my life. That's what the world that we live in is desperate in need of that kind of a message. The King has come and salvation is available to everyone. That's the message. No matter how bad you are, people don't need religious noise. They need a clear call to repentance and to hope in a man named Jesus. What He's done for me and what He's done for you. Romans chapter 10 and 14 says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And I'm not talking about the guy behind the pulpit, although that's part of it. We don't know who's watching this morning by way of the internet. We don't know the lives that are being changed and transformed because the word's going out over the internet. But what about you? How are you doing at preaching the gospel? How are you in telling others about Christ? As an effective witness has to include more than just being a good example. Acts of love. And eventually, here's the bottom line. Eventually, we will have to explain the content, the what and the how of the gospel. The what and the how of the gospel. We are to be the messengers. And let me just free you up, okay? You don't have to know everything. You do not have to know everything. All you need to tell somebody is what Jesus has done for you.
And that they can have Him too.
And that they can have Him too. See, we're the messengers. The woman at the well didn't go back with theology. She wasn't even looking for Jesus. She was filling her water pots. But he was there. He was present. He was attentive. He said, listen, I know you come for water, but I got water that you've never even heard of. You drink this water, you'll never thirst again. And she's like, well, gee, I won't have to make this trip anymore. She did not go back with theology. She went back with a testimony. You know what she said? Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Now some of us are like, I don't want that out. That's what she said. And the whole city was affected because of her testimony. It's amazing. There's another part to all of this. We got to demonstrate the message. Jesus didn't just tell her all this stuff. He demonstrated. We have to demonstrate the message. The disciples didn't just talk about the kingdom. They too demonstrated it. Their message had power because their lives showed compassion and healing and transformation. And the most powerful evidence of Christ's message is a changed life. The most powerful evidence is not how many scriptures you can quote. Not how many times you come to church, not how much you give in the offering. The most powerful evidence is the fact that your life has been changed. Amen. Amen. The world cannot argue with a soul that's been transformed by the Lord. When people look at your life and they see that you're not who you used to be, what in the world happened to you? Jesus. Sometimes that's all you have to say, Jesus. I had an experience, and this is one of my favorite quotes. You've heard me say this before, but a person with an experience is never at the mercy of someone with an argument. You can argue all you want. I experienced Jesus in my life. Well, he's just fictional. Well, apparently you didn't know me before, because I was not worth a plug nickel to anybody. But Jesus showed up, and he began to tell me what I am worth to him. Amen. We have value that we don't even know about. We are blessed. How many of you are blessed? You know why you're blessed? You're blessed to be a blessing. You are blessed to be a blessing. You're blessed to be a blessing. Woo! You are blessed to be a blessing. Woo! So when somebody helps a hurting soul or goes so far as to maybe forgive an enemy or serves without expecting payback, what's in it for me? I've known a lot of people that are, well, hey, you want to come help us with this? Well, what do I get? Here's my hourly rate. Well, if that's your attitude, that's about all you're ever going to get. But when we just be a blessing because I've been blessed, I serve without expecting payback, that means that the kingdom of God is beginning to break into my life. And when the kingdom breaks into your life, you ain't never going to be the same no more. That's just good vernacular. You ain't never going to be the same no more. Amen. You cannot outgive God. You can't. You cannot outgive God. What he has done for you, what he's doing for you, and what he will do for you, you and I need to pass on to a world that so desperately needs it. Let our light shine. Finally, in Matthew chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says, provide neither gold nor silver nor copper for your in your money belt, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staff, for a worker is worthy of his food. A worker is worthy of his hire. A worker's needs will be taken care of. Strange as it may seem, Jesus told him, don't pack anything. Don't pack anything. Why on earth would he put that on? How many of you, when you're preparing to take a trip, man, you are packing everything under the sun? Woo! Woo! Amen. Buddy, we are packing. We are packing. Sometimes we go so far as we don't even take our own car. We go down to Avis and rent an SUV because I can't haul everything I need for my overnight stay at Holiday Inn Express in my car. Jesus said, don't take nothing. Why would he put that on him? I'll tell you why. Because faith was to be their supply line. Faith was to be their supply line. God was teaching them, and he's teaching us, that I have to depend on him, not my possessions. Yep. Ooh, all four of you. Woo. Just trying to help you this morning. We've got to transition from trusting and depending on what I have the ability to make, and not it has a transition to I depend on him. And listen, God has blessed me. I'm blessed. There ain't no doubt about it. I'm blessed that every one of you are here this morning. I'm blessed that he hadn't killed me and took me out of here yet. I'm blessed that he's provided for me in ways that I've never even understand. He has. The last part of verse 10 says that the workman is worthy of his food. Other translation says worthy of his hire. But the reality is God will provide through his people or through other means anytime we step out in faith. When we started this building project, I signed my name on a contract that's legal and binding to more money than I've ever even thought about having. And if it all goes south, guess who they're coming for?
Woo!
Woo! It's true. It's true. This isn't the first time I've done it. And God showed himself faithful every time. That don't mean it's any less scary. But God, I believe God will provide because we've stepped out in faith. Amen. So don't let fear of lack stop you from stepping into your calling. You know how many times I've heard people say, well, I just don't know what to say. That is the lamest excuse in the world. Because I can tell you exactly what to say. Just tell them your story. You know your story like nobody else knows your story. That's all you got to do. Tell them your story. Depend on Him. Don't let fear of lack stop you from stepping into your calling. The church must never, ever, ever let comfort replace calling. Never let comfort replace your calling. If you wait, I ain't going to get any friends here either. I guess I'm on a roll, yeah. If you wait until you feel like you're ready, you'll never leave. If you wait until everything's lined up, until you got all that you think you're going to need, everything you're not leaving. You're just going to stay right where you are. You have to realize that when God sends His people, He supplies for His people. He supplies for His people. When you obey, He provides. When He sends, He supplies. Hudson Taylor, a missionary to China, said, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. He sent out the 12 ordinary men with nothing but faith and a message and His authority. Listen, He ain't going to send you out with any more than that. If it worked for them, it'll work for you. He sent them out, nothing but faith. Faith as a grain of mustard seed can move mountains. Nothing but faith. What's the message? The message is that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 talks about that He's going to send us power to go and make disciples of every nation. He is sending us by faith. He's given us the message, and He's given us His authority. Yet through all of these 12 guys, they changed the entire world. They changed the world because they were obedient to what God called them to do. I just want to change Myrtle Creek. I just want to change Myrtle Creek, because here's what's going to happen. If we change Myrtle Creek, you know what's going to happen? Canyonville is going to get changed. And if Canyonville gets changed, Riddle's going to get changed. And if Riddle gets changed, then Days Creek's going to get changed. And if Days Creek gets changed, then Glendale's going to get changed. And if Glendale gets changed, Azalea's probably going to get thrown in there too. And not to mention Winston and Boomer Hill and you know, Roseburg. Because it's going to begin to spread. That's what fire does. The fire of Pentecost, the fire of the Holy Ghost, it spreads. Why is it important that we get Myrtle Creek saved? Because if Myrtle Creek gets saved, everybody knows, we've been called South County for so long, I'm sick to death of hearing it. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're South County. Well, sure enough, I am. What? Yep. South County all the way. Tried and true. Deep South County. 1959 vintage South County. Oh, y'all, South County. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Jesus died on that cross for South County. Amen. Don't ever forget that. And when Myrtle Creek gets saved, people are going to say, you know what happened in Myrtle Creek? We got to go check it out. We got to go. It Myrtle Creek. Something's going on in South County. And them uppity folk in North County? Mm-mm-mm-mm. Oh, Lord. They're going to come to South County and have to maybe repent. Can anything good come out of South County? What's that? I wish I lived in South County. They got it going on down there. Lord have mercy. We laugh. Kind of joke about it, but I ain't joking. I believe that's going to happen. I believe he's going to use some messed up people like your pastor to make it happen. Some crazy truck drivers that puts 316 on the side of their truck. What's that for? Oh, glad you asked. Let me tell you. When God sends, he supplies. When we obey, he provides.
Shane, can I say something?
What? Could be. Well, if you let your light shine, that's all he's asking. Amen. Jesus changed the world through these 12 guys. Changed the world. Look at us this morning. I think the potential is here to change this entire city. Today, the same Jesus wants to send us. He wants to send us to the lost around us. He wants us to share his kingdom. He wants us to live with compassion. And he wants for us to trust his provision. That's what he's looking for. So, John, you and Kathy can come. I want to challenge you this morning. I want you to think about this. Because it doesn't do me any good to preach a nice, cute little message like this one if you're not challenged. I told somebody yesterday that my job is to challenge you, to provoke. You know what the word provoke means? The literal translation is to spur. Now, I've rode a lot of horses. I've broke some horses in my life. I can tell you that you can take the most sleepy horse, the most stubborn, hard-headed horse in the world, put a pair of spurs on, change that horse's whole attitude. Change his whole outlook on life. My job today is to provoke you, to challenge you, to spur you on. Let me ask you this question. You're the only one that can define this. Who are the lost sheep in your world? Who are the lost sheep in your world? Where is God sending you this week? Where's God sending you this week? What message will you carry? Will it be fear or will it be faith? Will it be fear or will it be faith? Will it be silence or salvation? Remember, when Jesus sends you, you're not going alone. You're sent with his presence, with his power, and with a purpose. He has a plan for your life. It's amazing. The very end of the Gospel of Matthew, It closes with a challenge. Well, more than that, it's really a mandate. It's a directive. It's a command. Let's just be honest. It's a command. And this is what he says in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go, therefore. Go, therefore. That word, therefore, ties all that has just been said previously to that with what he's saying now. Because of everything that I've just told you, go and make disciples of all the nations. Because of all that you've watched me go through, I've been beaten on a cross. I've been nailed to a cross. I was killed. I died. I went to the grave. They throwed me in a grave. They put a big rock, a big stone over the front of it so nobody could get me out. But God brought me out. I've defeated death, hell, and the grave. Because of all of that, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. I'm always with you, no matter what. Lo, I'm with you always. Jesus does not lie. When he said, I'll be with you always, I'll be with you always. He left the disciples with those last words of instruction, with those last words of command. They were under his authority. You're under his authority this morning. We're under his authority. Your job is to make more disciples. Their job was to make disciples. Some of you aren't discipled yet. You need to be discipled. I'm working on that. God wants to use some of you. God wants to raise up some of you that have been discipled to be disciplers. It's true. God, if you've been discipled and you're not passing on what you know, you're going to stand before God. I'm not here today to win a popularity contest, apparently. But you're going to stand before God and give an account of why did you keep that to yourself? My dad was a machinist and a welder, and he was super, super good at all of that. And anytime anybody would come to my dad and say, how do you do that, Boots? He would sit down and he would begin to explain it to him and tell. And he said, you want to know why I do that? Because what I don't pass on to somebody else is just going to go to the grave with me, and it ain't going to do anybody any good. There are people that refuse to let other people know how they do what they do and why they do it, because they might take my job. Well, listen. If they take your job, you're probably not doing a very good job anyway. Just saying. They're under his authority. The task is make more disciples. What they're to do is to baptize and teach these new disciples to obey Christ. Christ would be with them always. Christ will be with you always. He said so. It's a promise. Bow your heads with me. Let me close with this. If you're here today, if you're in this house today, if you're watching by way of the internet today, the Spirit of the Lord is provoking you, is challenging you. He's bringing conviction into your heart. And maybe you're saying today, I've never even accepted Jesus ever. I've never accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. Listen, heaven's real and hell is real. If it wasn't real, Jesus would have never went through all that he went through to save you from hell. Well, I'm a really good person. I don't think I'm going to go to hell. Well, let me ask you this question. What qualifies you to make heaven your home? Because by default, you go to hell. You're born a sinner because of Adam and all that he did. It's your default setting. But I'm a really good person. Really good people are going to go to hell. The only thing that qualifies you and I to make heaven our home is the reality that I have accepted on purpose Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've asked Him to come in and wash me and cleanse me and forgive me and renew me and restore me. All of those things. Well, preacher, you don't know how bad I've been. I don't care how bad you've been. One drop of the blood of Jesus will redeem you from everything. Will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. That's what He said. So this morning, you have to ask yourself this question. Have I ever given my life to the Lord? Have I ever asked Jesus to come into my life and save my soul from a devil's hell? And if you haven't, today's your day. Don't let this opportunity get by you, because we never know how many days we have. It's my understanding that Riddle is out of power this morning because somebody hit a power pole. It cost them their life. They were planning on going home or going to wherever it was that they were headed to when death came knocking on their door. So we don't know. Well, you're scaring me. Well, I hope I scare hell clear out of you. I hope you come to the place where you realize that I can't take it at that chance. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And I'm not trying to be ugly, and I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be dramatic. I'm just doing my best to get every person that I can into the kingdom and the presence of God and away from a devil's hell. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus, but today's my day. I want my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, because you want Jesus in your life. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Anybody at all, say, Preacher, that's me. I want to pray with you. Come on. Anybody at all, Preacher, that's me. Anybody at all? Part two. Maybe today, you need to renew your commitment to the Great Commission. Maybe today the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you, listen, you've been sitting on the back of your lap long enough. It's time for you to grow up, to buck up, to show up, and to begin to allow me to use you to advance my kingdom. If that's you, raise your hand. Yes, sir, I see your hand. I see your hand. Three of you. Come on. Who else today? Listen, God, if you can use anything, you can use me. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, in the back. I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. Come on. Who else? Listen. God wants to use you. Who else today? Say, Pastor, that's me. I'm willing to step up and be used of God. Yes, sir. I see your hand. Somebody else. Preacher, that's me. Yes, sir. I see your hand. Who else? Who else today? Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. Who else? Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. If you raised your hand, I want you to come. Get up and come. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Come on. You raised your hand. Come on.
If you can use anything more, you can use me.
Come on. Is there anybody else that ought to be up here?
If you can use anything, Lord,
come on.
You can use
let's
me.
Let's slide down this way.
Take my hands, Lord, and my feet.
Yes.
Touch my heart, Lord, speak with me.
Come on.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to anoint every one of you. Thank you, Lord.
You can use
anything, thank you, Jesus.
Lord. You can use me.
Thank you, Jesus. I'm just here for support.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Speak through me. If you can use anything,
you do, you'll always
Lord,
remember why.
You can use
it's
me.
The Spirit oil always represents the
Holy Spirit.
That's why I anoint you.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
What it represents is the power. It represents the Holy Spirit of God. And in days of old, when they anointed someone, they didn't just put a little dab on your, they poured a bucket full of it over your head. It run all down over them, symbolized in a very real, tangible way that you're engulfed in the Holy Spirit. We've reduced that down to sometimes just a little dot or a little cross on your forehead. But the implication is that the Holy Spirit is in your life and on your life. And I want you to know this morning, from the youngest to the oldest, to the new believer to the senior veteran that's been sitting back, God has a purpose and a plan. And everything that you've gone through, everything that you're going to go through, God wants to use it for your, for His glory and for His honor. Amen? I'm going to pray, Lord, right now over every one of these, that God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that Lord, you would send these out. Lord, there's just a handful of them here this morning, but you send them out, oh God, right now today. Lord, I pray that you would use them to populate heaven and to plunder hell. I pray, God, that you would endue them with power. The little dab of oil that I put on them is nothing compared to the outpouring of your Holy Spirit that I believe you want to pour over their life right now. Lord, if you can use anything, you can use us. Use us, God. You've given us the means. You've given us the message. And now, Lord, you've given us the directive. Send us out. Use us. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every one of them, over their mind, their soul, their spirit, their body, over their will, over their very life, oh God. Lord, I pray that homes will be transformed because there's new light in the house. I pray that workplaces will be transformed because there's new light in the house. I pray, God, today that our lives will forever be challenged and changed because you send us out with a purpose and with a plan and with the provision. And Lord, I thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. God bless you. God go with you. Woo! Hallelujah.
And speak.
Thank you, Lord.
If you can choose.